Welcome to the March 24th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, and the sermon is entitled, The Life in the Spirit, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We are going to open God's Word. I want you to take your Bible, open it with me to the book of Ephesians. That's where we are today. We have been in the past. We will be for a few Sundays in the future yet. This is sermon number 17 in a journey through the book of Ephesians in your New Testament. This, of course, is a letter that St. Paul wrote to a church that he loved, the church in Ephesus. If you look back in Acts chapter 19, you will find that Paul comes to the city of Ephesus and he finds a group of 12 men, and they had been baptized in a baptism of repentance for their sin. In other words, they were sorry that they were sinners, but they had yet to come to the Savior who could forgive them. So they had recognized their sin in their lives, but then Jesus moved into their hearts as Paul witnessed to them. They accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. They were forgiven from their sin and saved. And from that base of men, Paul founded the church in Ephesus. From that base of belief, a great ministry grew. In fact, I believe that this is the church where Jesus was their very first love for a long time. And this is the church that J. Vernon McGee calls the church at its best, a church that loved the Lord and ministered for the Lord. Paul, of course, stayed there for 3 years after he established it. He remained there as pastor. At the end of those 3 years, he went on back into his evangelistic work. He came to Rome. He was arrested there and incarcerated there. From that imprisonment, then he writes this letter back to his beloved church in Ephesus. It's a prison epistle written about 60 A.D. Now, we have most recently been dealing with chapter 5. As Pastor Jeffrey says, next week's going to get interesting as we talk about the family. But as Paul has written to the church, and as we have studied up to this point, Paul has summed up our life in Jesus Christ as a walk. It is a walk of faith. It is a walk as children of light, and that we are to share the gospel as children of light out into the world. That the Lord should reach through us and touch other lives as we live our lives in the world for Him. As we have dealt with chapter 5, we've studied Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, where Paul says that we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk with intention. We're to walk realizing that we are to gauge every word and every step by the word of Jesus Christ. We are to represent Him in every step of life. That's what it means to walk circumspectly, that we are thinking about our words and thinking about our walk and thinking about our witness as we constantly live in this world and as we're in the public and as we're with our family. We're thinking circumspectly about how to witness for our Savior no matter where we are. Our words and our actions should always honor Him. That's what Paul says. I agree with that, certainly. We measure every word, we measure every step by the Word of God, by the life of Christ. Now, verse 16 of chapter 5, Paul says that every step we take every day should redeem our time well. I'm sure you remember when years ago, Coke bottles were redeemable. And you saved up those glass bottles and you took them back to redeem them for a new pack of Coke. They each meant something in terms of 5 cents or 2 cents or whatever they were worth. We redeemed Coke bottles. Today, Paul says, we redeem every day to the glory of Jesus Christ. Not a day is to be wasted. Not a day is to be off on vacation from Christ, but no matter where we are, we're living for Him. We redeem every day because there will never be a day, including this one, there will never be a day that's repeated. When we finish this day at midnight tonight, this day is done, never to be repeated again. What will we do today to redeem the day? Well, you've started out well. We started out well. We started in worship. What a great way to redeem a Sunday morning, to start in worship. But we give the Lord our praise and our honor, our glory. And we also realize this, that our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. And God Himself knows the number. God knows how long our life will be. Don't waste a day. Don't waste a number of a day. because it will never be repeated again. Now today, we're going to concentrate on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So let's read these verses as they are the basis of our study. Hear these words, Ephesians chapter 5, begin with verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Short little verses, but they say so much that we need to hear today. First of all, Paul says, we're to spend every day wisely. We're to spend every day in an attitude of worship. Certainly, we come on a Sunday morning in an attitude of worship. But we're to follow the Lord in that attitude every day of the week and in every moment that we live. We're to have that attitude of living to worship Him, to love Him, to serve Him. I want you to notice in verse 18, he says that we have to be careful of one of the prevailing sins of his day and in our day as well when he says, be not drunk with wine. Now, many folks in Paul's day found their lives swimming in the excess of alcohol. And most sadly, especially in Ephesus, there were temples to idol gods, and drinking was part of the worship. So that people swam in this excess of alcohol while they were worshiping some false god. They had clouded minds and clouded words by alcohol while they were in some form of worshiping a false god. How far could you get away from the true God? Sadly, many pagan religions in that day were nothing more than drunken parties. That's all they were. God's word directs us not to waste our time filling ourselves with something that's worthless. How true that is today. Don't fill yourself with something that's worthless, something that brings no reward, something that brings no fulfillment, no happiness, no joy in life. Don't fill your life with stuff like that. And of course, primarily here in this passage, Paul is addressing alcohol. Well, let me give you some of my thoughts on alcohol. The Bible presents alcohol as a part of life, and in the days that the Bible was written, I'm sure, certainly it applied to life so much more by necessity than it does us today. But listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7. It says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. So we can see that there is some acceptability of alcohol in the Bible. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, Jesus' first earthly miracle was changing water into wine at a wedding so that the celebration could go on. We see Paul telling Timothy to take some wine for his stomach in 1 Timothy 5. So alcohol in strictest moderation, in controlled usage, could be acceptable. My physician told me a few years ago to drink some because it would help with my cholesterol. In strictest moderation, perhaps it could even be helpful. However, let me be quick to add this. While alcohol in its strictest moderation may not physically hurt us, there may be occasion where it may even help us physically some way. The main question, the bigger question is this. What does it do for our witness? What does it do to speak to others when we drink? Will my drink cause someone else to stumble in coming to Christ? There's the big question. I'll deal with my cholesterol without wine. Because I believe the biggest question in my life and in your life as a believer is, how do I give Jesus to the world? And it begins right at your own dinner table. It begins right in your own family. It begins right in your own home, but then it grows outward to the church family and to the larger world. How do we serve as a witness of Jesus Christ? And if wine or alcohol causes someone to stumble in getting to Jesus, then you better leave it alone. I believe that to be absolutely true because our witness is so important. And you can build a witness for years and it can be ruined like that with someone. Paul says if you want to be filled, if you want to find contentment, if you want to find joy, you will not find it in wine. But rather, you will find the true filling in the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. There's where the truest contentment and there's where the fullest of your needs will be met as you are filled with the Spirit of God. So we're talking here about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that of the Trinity, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, probably the least understood person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit's work in our lives? What does the Holy Spirit do in the midst of the Trinity in our lives? Well, let me take this moment to say some of the work of the Holy Spirit, to tell you what I believe the Holy Spirit's role is in our life. The moment we say yes to Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we truly lay our sin at the foot of the cross and ask to be forgiven, we come with a repentant, sorrowful heart that we have sinned against the God of our creation and the God of our salvation. When we lay that sin at His cross and say, Lord Jesus, I need Your forgiveness. I want to be Your child. I want to open my heart to You in salvation. The moment He moves into our hearts, the moment He saves us, the Holy Spirit does three things. Number one. First, the Bible says that we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God literally moves into our heart and into our life. In that millisecond that a person says, Lord Jesus, my heart is open to You, the Holy Spirit walks in, unpacks His suitcase, and is there forever. Amen? The Holy Spirit indwells us the moment we say yes to Jesus. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So, in order for us to be saved, the Spirit of God must move into our hearts and indwell us. That's the first thing that happens as the Holy Spirit comes into our life the moment we say yes to Jesus. Second thing of the Holy Spirit's action in our life. It happens as He moves into our hearts. He baptizes us as a child of God into God's eternal family. Again, here's another verse I want you to listen to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. So the Spirit of God, when the Spirit moves into our heart, it baptizes us into the church in the world. We become one of many, many believers in the world. So we know that as the Spirit of God moves into our heart, we don't become a Lone Ranger Christian, but rather we become a part of the larger family. It begins right here in this larger family of the church body, this local body of believers with whom we unite our spirit and our heart and our ministry and our talents so we can take Jesus into the world. But the baptism into the family goes far beyond this little room of people. It's the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into that family. We're baptized into the family that many of them in heaven already, and we will meet them by the millions one day. But we're baptized into that family. One day, we're going to meet all of the family, but you and I as believers in Christ are part of that larger family. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. All of us are part of the family because the Holy Spirit baptizes us into that family. The third thing the Holy Spirit does for us the moment we're saved is this. He seals us in that salvation forever. Jesus made a promise to us that when we know Him as Lord and Savior, He will never break the promise that we belong to Him. And when the Spirit of God moves into our heart, the Spirit will never leave again. That is His promise. He seals us in forgiveness. The moment my children were conceived in the womb, I became their biological father, and there's nothing that I could ever do to take that genetic trace out of them. I will always be their biological father. When we sit in heaven for the eons to come with my daughter and my son, I'm going to say, I was your daddy on earth. Nothing can change that. When the Spirit of God moves into our heart, nothing will change that. In teaching Pastor Clyde's class this morning, I did say this. There are some who truly have come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they have sidestepped and backslidden in the worst of ways. But I don't believe there's anything we can do that will take away our true salvation, but the moment they walk through the gates of glory, they go straight to the woodshed. But that's the Holy Spirit's promise, that we're sealed in salvation. And every day for the rest of our life, He wants to do something in us. And He wants to do something through us as we live in this world. He wants to fill us. That's what Paul's talking about in verse 8. Look at verse 8 again. 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as lives. You know, that concept of filling of the Holy Spirit is very easy to understand. Him, our lives. You know, that concept of filling of the Holy Spirit is very easy to understand. Every day that we wake up, we should be saying, Lord God, I want to serve You today. I want to live for You today. As I wake up this morning, I want this day to belong to You. We need to seek His filling every day. You know, you eat every day. You fill your physical body with extra food every day so that your physical body will not starve to death. It's built into you and to me to be hungry, that our physical body gets filled so that we live on, so that we continue to serve. If you don't fill your car, what's going to happen? It's going to stop. If you don't pay your electric bill, what's going to happen? It's going to be cut off. If you don't fill the wood stove with wood, it will go out. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit fills us, and we seek that filling every day. We don't take for granted that He just lives in us, but rather every day we are speaking to Him and we're talking to Him and we're thanking Him for being our Lord and our Savior and to fill us that we might live that day for Him. You see, if we don't seek the filling of the Holy Spirit through every day, soon our witness will slow down and soon it will get cold. And our witness might even go out. Our salvation will not be lost, but our witness can go out. And we lose that fire and that passion to reach out to others with the love of Christ. Every day, we need to speak to the Spirit of God living in us, saying, Lord, please, today, give me Your direction. Please, Lord, today, fill me with Your love and Your blessing that I might be a blessing to someone else out there in the world, maybe beginning right in my own breakfast table in that room. Help me to be a blessing to You today. Every day that we surrender to the Lord living in us is a day that He will use to His glory and His blessing through us to someone else. Every day we submit to His control. Every day we are thankful that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence and filled us in our hearts and in our lives. So don't ignore the Spirit of God living in your heart. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. Converse with Him. Not only will you do the talking, but He will also return in talking to you. When you're filled with the Spirit, it's a conversation. And the conversation goes on every day. Don't ignore the Spirit living in your heart. And also, as we think about the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we realize that today is the day that we're mainly concerned for in living for the Spirit of God. Today is that precious opportunity that will never be reissued, that we live with the Spirit guiding us. Every day as a child of God, we say, Lord, today, prepare me and use me in your kingdom's work. Whatever you ask me to do, wherever you ask me to go, I will take Jesus there. Now, as we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, we find some characteristics of having the Holy Spirit among us as the church family. Today, are we in complete agreement that the Spirit of God is in this place? I hope it's louder than that. Absolutely, the Spirit of God joins us and links us together. If you're a first-time visitor as a believer in this congregation, you are a brother or a sister today, and the Holy Spirit of God has linked us together, arm in arm, that we are together in worship, together in service, and we take Jesus to the world together. So as we think about the Spirit of God linking us as a church, I want you to look at verses 19 through 21. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. Remember, he's talking to a church now. So keep that in mind. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You'll notice in verse 19, it centers on music. You know, music is not just a filler for our hour. It's not just something we do so that Pastor Tom has a job. He leads us in a part of worship that is absolutely essential to the life of the believer. Paul says, when we come together, we are to sing psalms, first of all. You know what psalms? That's certainly God's word. Those are the hymns and the songs that we sing that come directly out of the Word of God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, directly from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And then also we sing hymns. These are compositions of human beings, but they are led by the Spirit and the love and the Word of God. We sing those hymns together. And then Paul says we also sing spiritual songs. Those are really songs of our own composition. How many of you can whistle a tune or think of a tune that doesn't belong to anybody else? I remember our little girl Carrie, when she was a little one, had this tune that she sang, and when I tried to sing it with her, she said, "No! My song." A spiritual song is your song that belongs to the Lord. Your song that honors Him. Your song that lifts Him up. Now, I know not all of us are great singers. I won't mention those who are not. I can tell you this in all honesty. I love singing in the choir. I'm not a great singer, but I love to bring honor and glory to the Lord who gives us voice. But Psalms 66, 81, 95, 98, and 100 say we're to sing with a joyful noise to the Lord. Noise in Hebrew, noise in Hebrew really comes from two words, reinan and ruah. Reinan means ringing cries, and ruah means to split the ears with sound. I'm trying to hold my tongue because this is coming out on radio. But as we think about that, it's not really how melodious we are, it's the spirit with which we sing. It's the spirit with which we bring glory and honor to God. Whether we can sing or carry a tune or whether we're a professional, whatever it is, what Paul is saying, raise the roof a little bit with your praise of God. Bring some praise to God. It's not this little dry, amazing grace. It's bring praise to God who gives us grace. Raise the roof with the sound of your voice. It's an expression of the inward joy that we feel when we sing. So singing together as a congregation is extremely important. But where does it come from? It comes from the melody that's already in your heart. the praise that's already on the inside. And we bring all of that passion and all of that praise together so that when we sing, we do raise the roof an inch or two as we bring that praise to the Lord. We come together saying, good morning, Lord, not good Lord, it's morning. Every day, no matter the circumstances, no matter what the day is bringing, there is a joy simply in knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in us. There's a joy in knowing that we're not alone. There's a joy in knowing that we have an inward direction that comes from God, that gives us purpose and that gives us life, that gives us a reason for getting up in the morning and living that day for Him. So joy is a mark of the Christian's life. Look at verse 19 again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. An expression of inward joy. Joy is a mark of your life, not just here on Sunday morning in a congregation, but out there in the world where there are so many joyless people, so many hurting people, so many people with no direction, so many people who don't know Christ. Show them not some fake painted on smile, but the joy that comes because Jesus lives in your heart. It truly does reach out from us. Another mark of the congregation is in verse 20. Look at verse 20 of Ephesians 5. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are always to be thankful. No matter what the day brings, be thankful that the Lord is going to lead us through that day. You know, it'd be a great habit to develop every morning as we wake up to say, Lord, thank you that as I wake up, I know you're living in me. Thank you this day that I will never be alone. Thank you this day that I will never take an undirected step because you will direct me and you will teach me and tell me the right way to go throughout this day. Help me, Lord, redeem this day. This one day, Lord, help me redeem this day for you. So when I lay my head on the pillow tonight, I will say this day will have belonged to Jesus, my Savior. And finally, in verse 21, Paul draws us back to our relationship with one another. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As the church, we're to love one another. We're to take care of one another. We're to know one another. You know, in my pastor's class that I teach every month, I usually throw in this little illustration about going into a movie theater with Gwen, buying popcorn and a drink that costs way too much, sitting down and watching a movie with all these strangers. Well, that's what a movie theater is built for, all the strangers to come in and be entertained for a couple hours, and then all the strangers get up and they leave. But that's not the church at all. The church is composed of people who love one another. And we love one another because Jesus first loved us, gave us eternal life. So Paul draws us back in this last verse that we study today that we are to have a relationship of love one with another. We submit to God's leading within the church and we commit to love one another. Someone asked me years ago, and I've been asked the question many times over the years, why be a church member? Why join a church? Why can't I just float in? And I know that the Lord leads us in that decision. I'm not twisting anybody's arm in this moment. I'm just saying the reason I believe in church membership is the same reason I believe in marriage. When I said I do to Gwen, I meant in health and in sickness, in abundance and in want, in all things, up and down, good and bad, we'll be together. And that's the same principle that applies to church membership. In the rough days, in the good days, in the challenges, in the blessings, we're going to be together. We're going to minister together. We're going to love one another, help one another, support one another, encourage one another, because that's the essence of being a church together. No matter what life might bring, no matter what the future might hold, we're going to be together. And we're going to love one another as we love our Savior. It's not just trying to get along as best we can. It's not this disconnected social club. but rather we strive to love each other so deeply that we would lay down our lives for one another. Just as Jesus laid down his life for us, we're to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says this. It's easy to remember. John 3:16, you know well. This is 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, the church, our brothers and our sisters. Christian, let me ask you this as I bring this to a close today. How long has it been since you thank God on your knees in complete humility that he saved you? How long has it been since we've truly said, Lord, thank you that you moved into my heart and you moved in to stay? When is the last time you said, Lord, fill me with your love and fill me with your strength and fill me with your direction that I might serve you better? How long has it been since you've said, Lord, thank you for the church that you chose to put me in? Thank you for this congregation, Lord, of which I'm a part. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Help me to love them well. Help me to serve there well. Help me to be a part of the body that encourages and supports and lifts up the name of Jesus as we are together. I want to say before you today, I am so thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here. I'm thankful for your love, and I'm grateful that we're serving together. And I believe that for eternity to come, we'll remember these worship services that we were together before we got to heaven. I pray that we'll just be thankful today. That's what this little passage is all about. Be thankful for the Spirit living in you. Be thankful for your church. Be thankful that he guides us. And today, if you are here and you've never received Jesus, I can tell you right now, I'm closing the sermon, but listen. Right now, the Spirit of God is standing at the edge of the door of your heart with his suitcase. And when you say, Lord, I am a sinner, I need you to forgive me, I believe you earned the right to forgive me through the old rugged cross and the resurrection from the grave. You bled and died on that cross for me. And if you really want to know what that's about, come on Wednesday night. We're talking about the cross in Matthew right now. You bled and died and suffered on that cross to forgive my sin. And you rose from the grave to give me eternal life. Today, Lord, this day, I tell you I believe that. And I open my heart to you as my Savior. The Holy Spirit will move into your heart with his suitcase, and he will unpack, and he will be there forever. He will never, ever leave you. You'll be sealed in salvation forever. If you need him, today is the day that can change your eternity to forgiveness in heaven. You come. He's waiting. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for these moments. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this church. Lord, there are churches all over the world, and I thank you for the people who are within those churches who love them and who want them to thrive and to minister. But in this little congregation in Little Clifford, Virginia, I love this people. I love the Lord who guides us, and I pray that you use us in mighty ways. So, Lord, I pray today that we are thankful that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. We're willing for you to guide us. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the people who surround us. We're thankful, Father, that you give us a mission and a ministry in this world to bring a lost world to Jesus. Bless that one who needs Christ today. He is waiting to unpack his suitcase in their heart and stay forever if they'll just simply say yes to him. Church home, whatever the need, bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.